There was a guy named Harry Ballback, and he was one of the founding directors of the Word of Life team, and he often would tell this story of what it was like growing up in Brooklyn, New York. And he tells this story about how he loved his mother and how much his mother loved him. And they grew up in this household with a lot of freedom, but inside the house they had this number one rule. I mean, this was a rule that nobody ever broke, you know, and that was you never played baseball in the house. My mother didn't like that either. You know, she would get up. She didn't like us to play hockey in the house. But one day, his mother went to the store and left him and his brother alone in the house. And, of course, wouldn't you know it, while she was gone, they decided to play catch. Well, they were tossing the ball back and forth, and his brother threw the ball to him, and he missed it, and it shattered a big mirror behind him. And, of course, they got the revelation. That's why Mom didn't want us to play ball in the house. So, man, he was worried, and he went and he sat down by the window just watching for his mother to come walking down the street. And he always says it like this. He says, "Remember, I loved my mother, and my mother loved me, but I was not anticipating my mother's return at this time." I remember Advent as a dad. I remember, man, you know, how at Christmas time was a time for continual anticipation of my children. I mean, I think, you know, Cindy, I know she knows too, and they were always looking for signs and wonders that Christmas morning was here, was at hand, you know. Always asking us these questions. Cindy would take them to church, and they would go to Sunday school, and in their classrooms they would have, everybody remember those little Advent calendars that had those windows, you know, that you would open up, and they would tell about how they gathered around those Advent calendars, and they just couldn't wait to tear open that curtain and reveal the treasures that they would be receiving in the coming week. And at home, you know, each and every morning, Cindy or I would be greeted with that all-important question. Can you guess what it is? How many days until Christmas? Man, they were so worried, you know, when they would go to bed at night and they'd say, how many more sleeps do we got, you know, before it's Christmas Day? And they were so worried, you know, make sure that you wake us up on Christmas. They were so worried that they were going to sleep all the way through Christmas and miss it. And everyone and everything fell under their watchful eyes during Christmas time. Man, what was coming into the house? You had a hard time sneaking anything by them guys. And what was going out? And man, when they were really little, as December 25th approached, each day it got harder and harder for them to sleep. Man, what if they missed it? What if they thought, what if I missed the magic of Christmas Day? Man, they were worried, you know, like, what if we miss the wonder of Christmas for some reason or another? What if they miss Santa being on the roof and coming down the fireplace? Or what if they missed him placing the presents underneath the tree? Well, in those days, they would watch with wonder every single day. Now, I admit that this story isn't everyone's experience, but, you know, that's the one that Cindy and I had. And it's one that this time of year that we look back with fond memories about the Christmases that we had with our children. But I tell you what, I think there's not a person in here who can't relate to a time that they were anticipating something. You know, I remember in the summer of 1986, I don't know about Cindy, she might have been dreading it, but I was anticipating the 16th of August and the day that we would get married. Do you remember that day, those of you who are married? And I remember the spring of 1992. And I was crossing off the days until my first son was born. To remember anticipating the birth of a child. And there's some of you who've already experienced, and you have looked forward to that day with great anticipation when you leave your place of employment for the last time and entered into the world of retirement. What a day that was. Or what about this? You've dedicated many, many years to a job that you love, and you work hard, and you know that there's a raise coming around the corner, and it's a good one, and you just can't wait to get that raise. Well, whatever it is. Whatever, you know, Cindy and I just spent a week anticipating the arrival of a cat, and it was just like double indemnity. We asked for one, and two came through the door. I don't know how that happens, but it's Larry and Vicky's fault. That's all I know. But whatever it might be, I think we all know what it is like to watch in extreme anticipation, just watching and waiting. And our text today that I just read to you is about that type of waiting, and it's about that type of watching, never losing focus on what we should have our eyes upon, which is the return of Jesus Christ. Many of us read this text, and I want you to remember this line, right? Remember this, that many of us read this text carrying a bag of fear. Not unlike Harry Ballback's story of playing catch. And man, there's some validity to that, because those preceding verses, right? That's why I had you read chapter 24 in its entirety. That the preceding verses are a bit gloomy, to say the least. There's definitely a sign of caution here, though, that tells us let's not get distracted. There's a message in there that instructs us to stay the course. But I want you to know something. The message is not a message of fear today. Because it is ultimately, what did I say? It is the Sunday of hope. And ultimately, the message there is a message of hope. You know, the hope is that God will keep His promises, that Jesus Christ will return, and that if we stay on course, if we are watchful, and if we are ready, we will see this hope fulfilled. So then, what is it that we need to do? Well, I believe it's this. We need to focus on what we are called to do. Nikki, can you bang that slide forward one for me, please? When we stop for a moment and we examine this text and we really look at it in spirit and truth, that if we you know, just pull back all of the things that might get in the way, if we can't help but notice that it is directing to us, it's pulling back a curtain of deception, and it reveals how we can become consumed by all the distractions that permeate our lives. Instead of saying, focus on Jesus. So what are we supposed to do? What are we distracted from doing? Well, sharing Christ, right? What about this? Living a life of holiness, living the life of Christ. How about allowing the call to holiness to guide our life? And you know what we do is we let all sorts of things rush in and distract us. And I'm just telling you, there's no doubt that the Gospel of Matthew has this overwhelming theme of sharing the good news of God with others. But But we stop and we say, man, I really need to go and share the good news with somebody, but Christmas is coming and the tree's not up yet. The lights aren't hung. I'll go and do it a little while later. But Jesus said this to us. No matter what we're doing, he says, therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And then he says, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. That's the theme of Matthew. That is what we are called to do. And you might say, well, Pastor Bud, I mean, that might be good for you to call to preach or call to teach, but I'm not a public speaker. I don't do those things, but you know what? But how you live your life can be a sermon. I said to you last week, I would rather see a sermon than hear one any day. The call to how we live our lives. You know, here at the NAS, our vision focuses on the call that is spelled out in Matthew. It says, the NAS is a church where everyone can come to worship, to grow, and to thrive in relationship with God and others. Now, we also see this theme illustrated in the parable of the sheep and goats that is in the next chapter, where we learn that the call of those following Jesus Christ is to live a life in love and compassion for those around us. So I guess what I'm saying is we all have a call to join the mission of God in the world. But I've been kind of saying it to you throughout the last few weeks. But you know, as a people, we are prone to lose focus on what we're supposed to be doing. Now, on Friday, I sent each of you an email. I already alluded to that, in which I suggested Matthew 24 be read in entirety. And as you were reading, perhaps a question was running through your mind, kind of like, well, I'm not sure what this text has to do with Advent. I mean, Easter maybe, but Advent? Well, it's important to remember that the context for this passage reveals several parables that hit us right between the eyes, and it's the distracted nature of humanity. First, there's a parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Nikki, can you hit that slide again for me, please? Hit it again, please. I can't find it. Well, first, I want you to write these down. It's the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. That's Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Second, I want you to write down the parable of the talents, Matthew 25, 14 through 30. And third, the parable of the sheep and goats, Matthew 25, 31 through 46. I want you to write those down. There should be on a slide. There they are. I want you to write those down because I want you to take those and do a little bit of homework for yourselves and kind of get an idea about what I'm talking about this morning. You see, these passages remind us that we need to keep watch. You see, these passages remind us that we need to be ready. See, these passages remind us not to let the things of the world distract us from our kingdom goal. You know, perhaps there's no better illustration of being distracted than the story of Moses. And I want to share this with you. I think, Nikki, you already had it up there once. But it says this, as in the days of Noah, so it will be at the end, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving up in marriage. And up to the day that Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. That's Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39. Now, the issue, right, was not that people were marrying, not that people were eating, not that people were drinking. I mean, there's nothing inherently bad with these things, loved ones. And in fact, if we really think about it, these things are good things. These things are gifts from God. And they can be real good. And they're blessings for sure. I mean, we need to eat and we need to drink to live. And for many, marriage brings fulfillment to their lives. But here's the issue, is that they allowed those things to distract them from their coming destruction and ultimately the opportunity for hope and for salvation. They were caught off guard because they had forgot about God. See, they were caught off guard because they weren't paying attention to the signs around them that were pointing towards salvation. Instead, what they did is they focused on other things, right? They focused on worldly things. And their blindness, their distractedness blinded their eyes and it deafened their ears so thoroughly that they failed to anticipate their impending doom. And all these years later, it's easy for us to kind of sit back and say what fools they were. But let's be honest. We are a distracted people. Let's be honest with ourselves this morning. While many of us may know that Christ is coming, we often allow other things to consume all of our time. Now, I want you to remember something. I want you to remember back to last week, and I preached a sermon that was predicated on the idea that we must not let the distractions of life keep us from climbing the steps of the foyer into the sanctuary. And I said something like this. I said, I'm amazed by people who get up every Sunday morning and have to decide every Sunday morning whether or not they're going to be in church. I know it's a tough statement. Matter of fact, I received a couple of comments about that. You know, that perhaps the sermon was hard. My dear buddy Paul Cole, I love him dearly, and he said to me Thanksgiving evening, he said, you sure did spank us Sunday. But I want you to understand something. I'll never spank you, ever. But I will spank us, myself included. You don't think that there's ever been a Sunday morning where I've gotten up and said, man, I really don't want to go in and preach this morning? Do you think that every week that I just can't wait to sit down in front of my computer and get a whole pile? I mean, Cindy, what is on our kitchen table right now? Just piles and piles of commentaries and books trying to put these messages together. You think that I just look at that on Monday morning and say, yes! Sometimes I do. But I admit, there's times I don't. I'm human. I'm just like you. I'm no better than anyone else. And what I say to you, loved ones, believe me, I say to myself as well. I had a conversation with one of my sons on Thanksgiving, and I was asking him, you know, what were your plans for Thanksgiving? And then I said, hey, Jake, what about the coming Christmas? What do you got going on? And he said, Dad, work has me so busy. I haven't had time to even think about that. He said, in fact, I've been called in 2 hours early today because things just aren't ready for Black Friday. And, you know, it made me feel a bit sad. Yeah, I thought, you know, just a little bit of time, Jake. It'd be nice for you to just have a little bit of time to just sit back and just relax today. Yeah, we're distracted people. And you know, because of that, because of we're distracted, you know, sometimes we forget our call to compassion. In our busyness and our distractedness, sometimes we forget our call to love others. You know, the busyness of our lives can cause us to be less patient with those who are struggling. We become less understanding. And this time of year, we can look at obvious, at this time of year, we can look at obvious distractions in our lives. And I've already mentioned that busyness is a problem throughout the year, but this time of year, things can feel even more busy. I mean, got family coming? Got a lot of presents yet to buy? Working a lot of hours? There's church on Sunday, prayer on Wednesday. Boss has a big project for you to do. And then materialism becomes this big issue this time of year. Man, shiny things catch our eyes and they inhabit our dreams. And we can sometimes view both getting and giving as a way to be fulfilled. I think this is important here. But beyond a doubt, both can serve as distractions. Now, think about this. Getting ready for Christmas. Man, we got to keep up appearances, right? You know, the way we look and the way we keep up our homes and the way we are perceived by others. I tell you what, man, we worry about such things, and if we're not careful, they can become a serious distraction in our lives. Family can be a distraction, even though family is good. It's really good. I mean, Cindy and I miss ours more than we can even bear at times. But what I'm trying to say is this. Much like the people in Noah's time, we aren't wrong for getting married and celebrating, and we aren't wrong for spending time with our family and friends. We're not wrong celebrating and exchanging good things, but sometimes even good things like those I just mentioned can become the focus of the season instead of Jesus Christ. It's really the point that we're making. There are countless things that can distract us from looking for Christ in our lives and in the world that is around us. So here's the good news. And it's up there already. It said Advent is... Nikki, can you go back one? What is the slide back there? Leave it there for a moment. I'll tell you when to advance it. Advent is the season, loved ones, for regaining focus. Well, this might feel like an odd text for Advent. I just want to share with you today that it's spot on. The point of this sermon is to be mindful of the distractions in our lives and remember the birth of Jesus Christ. Remember, you know that saying, remember the reason for the season? Each week during Advent, we are called to look back at Christ's birth and remember. In just a few moments, we're going to be sharing communion together, in part to remember what Christ has done for us. But we are also reminded each week to look ahead to Christ's return, and communion does that as well. Just like the anticipation that we had as children, looking forward to Christmas Day or when we're looking forward to another important day in our lives, we're reminded to look forward to Christ's return. So the question for us today, as Nikki, advance it one, please, is what distractions do we need to remove from our lives to regain focus on Christ? I want you to let's just think about that for a moment, okay, before I move on. What distractions do we need to remove from our lives to regain focus on Christ? What do we need to add to our lives to regain focus on Christ? What do we need to add? You see, we're the lucky ones, loved ones. Those of us who anticipate the return of Jesus Christ, we're hopeful. I mean, we have hope there. We have a great hope of a wonderful future. And we know that the hardships and trials that we might be facing and going through right now will be made right when Jesus makes his return. So what about those who don't know him? What hope do they have? You see, we're to stay focused on the mission that God has called us to. We're to stay focused to tell others about Jesus Christ so that they will have this great hope and a wonderful future. We are confident of the ways, loved ones. This is what you have to offer. That you have the ways that the already and not yet kingdom of God is at work. It's at work in your life. The already not yet kingdom of God. It's here, but it's coming. You have that promise to share with people. The kingdom of God can be seen in the way you talk to others, the way you look at others, the way you love others. And when we anticipate Christ's return, you see, we look for and we see where the Holy Spirit is already at work in the world. You know, we're involved in quite a few things, people through the church. You know, I mentioned Kairos earlier. Paul has already talked about, you know, the Gideons supplying Bibles. But there's also, we help out with viable options, and we're still exploring those things. And then there's worldwide missions that we're part of that help us talk about the light of Christ in the world around us. You know, there's worldwide missions. We provide relief. Right now, do you know that about 2% of the money that we just collected today will go help a Syrian relief fund for those refugees? Do you know that the Church of the Nazarene will send that over there to provide relief for those who are homeless, that are you know, disconnected from their old way of life, that have nothing? You're helping to keep them alive. And then there's Operation Christmas Child. Man, we just sent, how many boxes, Cindy, did we just send? Almost 30 boxes. So almost 30 kids are going to be having a Christmas this year who normally wouldn't, just because of the Potsdam Church of the Nazarene reached out in love, communicating the already not yet reality of the kingdom of God. Yeah, we partner with the work of the Holy Spirit in the world, just like Noah partnered with God in building the ark. Now remember what I told you to remember, what line I told you about, that there's really no fear in the text. You see, that some people fear the text that we are reading. But I want you to understand, the fear in the text is never for those who trust in the Lord, but it's always for those who don't. The fear is for the ones who don't trust in the Lord. So I'm just going to bring it home. We're getting ready to, if helpers can come forward in a minute, we're going to be taking communion. But Advent is the new year in the church. New years are often time for resolutions and for thinking of ways that we want to improve. We don't always think of Advent as a season of reflection and renewal. But what if we shifted our thinking, loved ones? What if we found a way to reduce distractions? What if we found a way to simplify things and to focus on remembering the coming of Christ and anticipating the return of Jesus Christ? How might we be transformed by that? How might the world be transformed by our faithful watching and witness and waiting with the hope? You know, I recall the words of that old spiritual that says, what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. What a day, glorious day that'll be.